This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we have an uplifting devotional message from Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101, a special prayer segment,
and a presentation from our friends at Loma Linda that'll give you a good laugh.
Good morning, friends, and happy Tuesday. Can you believe that we're officially less than 2 months away from the end of the year?
That is so hard to believe.
Wow.
It's hard to believe how quickly this year has flown by. We hope your heart has been filled with the joy and peace of God as you have woken up this morning and as you've spent time with us throughout this year. And we hope that today will be just the same.
That's right. You know, our program is meant especially with you in mind. We want to share the hope of Jesus with you today. And on today's program, we have an uplifting devotional message from Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101, a special prayer segment, and a presentation from our friends at Loma Linda that will give you a good laugh. Are you ready to laugh today?
Yes!
You're going to be blessed. But first, let's take a look back at what happened on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1960, John F. Kennedy, 43 years old, becomes the youngest man ever to be elected president of the United States, narrowly beating Republican Vice President Richard Nixon. He was also the first Catholic to become president. The campaign was hard-fought and bitter. For the first time, presidential candidates engaged in televised debates. Many observers believe that Kennedy's poised and charming performance during the four debates made the difference in the final vote. Issues, however, also played a role in the election, and the nation's foreign policy was a major bone of contention between Kennedy and Nixon. Nixon took every opportunity to characterize Kennedy as too young and inexperienced to handle the awesome responsibilities of America's Cold War diplomacy. And boy, did Kennedy face major issues in his presidency. He faced the catastrophic failure of the Bay of Pigs invasion, the construction of the Berlin Wall, and there was also the deteriorating situation in Southeast Asia to consider.
Yet, in spite of the challenges, he was one of America's best-loved presidents, never known for cowering down. How about you, friend? How do you handle the challenges and trials? Do you cower down and retreat? Or do you courageously face them head on? Well, today we encourage you, friends, to face life head on. You know, after all, Jesus has promised to be by your side every step of the way.
Amen. They say laughter is good medicine. And not only that, but research has shown that laughing even improves short-term memory.
Right.
So when's the last time you had a good laugh? Well, this morning, our friends from the healthiest place in the nation, Loma Linda, are here to show us why we need to laugh more often.
Ever forget where you put your keys? Or maybe that one word is at the tip of your tongue, but you just can't remember it? Short-term memory loss can be a common occurrence, especially when we're stressed out. This is no laughing matter. Or is it?
Loma Linda University health researchers have found that when we're stressed, our cortisol levels increase. Cortisol is a stress hormone. And when it enters the hippocampus of our brain, it can damage neurons that are involved with learning and memory.
Dr. Gurinder Baines studied short-term memory in the elderly population by giving memory tests. The only difference between the two groups were that half of them watched a 20-minute funny video that made them laugh, as opposed to the non-humor group who just sat in the waiting room.
After the experiment, the humor group had significantly decreased cortisol levels compared to those who just sat and didn't watch a funny video.
As it turns out, short-term memory is a laughing matter.
When we laugh, the stress hormone cortisol decreases, and thus our short-term memory will improve.
If we can make ourselves more healthy as we take a whole person approach in that aspect, and we can decrease our stress levels, all of that can actually lead to a better quality of life.
Being able to look forward to doing something enjoyable also reduces stress.
If you're in a stressful situation, you can actually be thinking, oh, you know what? I'm going to be doing something fun with my family. You know, I'm going to work out. It's going to relieve some stress. That can actually help cortisol levels and stress.
What are the tips for the day? Lower your stress levels by laughing more. You can watch comedies, socialize with friends, plan to do something you enjoy after work.
And for those who are grandparents, spend time with your grandkids. The little ones can always make us laugh.
There's your tip for the day on how you can live healthier longer.
That was really good. We hope you laugh a little more each day. You'll improve your stress. Memory levels will decrease in the process. We have to take a short break now, but when we return, we will have a special prayer session. Also, don't forget, if you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And also, search for us on YouTube. Check out our YouTube channel and keep up with us. Up next, the doctor is back to explain how someone could be trying to kill you. Let's find out what that's all about next.
Morning, honey. How did you sleep?
Oh, not very well. I need a caffeine fix.
Didn't those sleeping pills work?
Oh, not at all. I had this vivid dream that really scared me.
Scared you?
Yes, this voice kept shouting at me, someone's trying to kill you, someone's trying to kill you.
Who could be trying to kill you?
I don't know, but I don't have time to think about it right now.
Oh, really? Well, what time are you heading out to work? Oh, hang on.
Hey,
yes,
is that my boss?
He's just
no.
here. Just a
don't
moment.
Tell him I'm not here.
You have to take it.
Okay. Yeah. 20 minutes. Yeah, I told you I'll be there in 20 minutes. Okay. All right. Man, I don't know who's trying to kill me, but this stress is just too much for me.
Why, what have you got on today?
Oh, I've got those 6 meetings this afternoon and 4 deadlines this morning. Oh, and by the way, I won't be home for dinner tonight because I've... Hey, where are my cigarettes and my lighter?
Here. Well, what do you mean you're not going to be home? I was going to do steak and eggs for dinner and
don't
some nice cheesecake for dessert.
Don't worry.
What are you going to eat?
Oh, I'll go buy McFast food. I get a burger and fries and a Coke. And hey, while I'm there, maybe I'll try to figure out who's trying to kill me.
But you're so tense. I'm worried. I hate to think what your blood pressure is with all this stress.
Don't worry. I'll have my stiff drinks this afternoon. I'll take my antidepressants. And hey, you know what? Those things will probably calm me down enough. I'll be able to try to figure out who's trying to kill me.
Oh, I hope you're going to take some sleepers tonight to sleep.
I will.
Okay. Don't live like this, or you'll die like this. Doctor's orders.
Welcome back, friends. We are being blessed today on Wake Up with Hope, and we long for you to experience Jesus during our program.
Yes, and that is why we hope this next segment will be warming to your heart. The LexPray team is with us today to lead us in a special prayer session. We're happy to have them here this morning.
Hey, good morning, friends. It's Chris Holland here from Let's Pray, the place where you don't have to pray alone. I am so thrilled to each night, Monday through Thursday, from 8 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, to be able to pray, to be able to pray for the world. Let's Pray is a community of faith from all around the world, people watching from St. Lucia, from Brazil, from Australia, all places in Africa, several different places in Asia. The list goes on and on and on. And I am just, in fact, we have viewers, I believe, in every continent except for Antarctica. Well, friend, I just want to let you know that while you wake up with hope, I pray that you end the day with prayer. So please, you can watch us on Facebook. Just look up Let's Pray Live. You can watch us on YouTube. Also, look up Let's Pray Live, hopetv.org. You can watch on the Hope Channel app, Roku, Apple TV, DirecTV Channel 368, or the Glory Star satellite. However you're watching Hope Channel right now, you can watch Let's Pray. Friends, I want to talk to you today about something that's important, and that is freedom from addictions. You know, we live in a world where there are so many addictions. We've got a new addiction that we didn't have 50 years ago, and that is this. It comes in the form of phones and tablets and computers. We often have digital addictions. with those digital addictions come some really terrible addictions, media addiction, pornography addictions. But then we have addictions like drug addictions or other types of addictions. I know because I come from a family of addicts. I come from generations of alcoholics. And listen, I experienced deliverance from this it's been about 28 years ago that I experienced deliverance from these things. And friend, I don't know about you, but maybe some of you out there are struggling with some type of an addiction, whatever it may be. And it may not be an addiction that I've named, some other type of addiction. I want you to listen to what Jesus outlined as his mission when he was on this earth. Do you know that Jesus gave a mission statement? His mission statement is found in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. He's actually quoting from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. And this is what he says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And then it says this, to proclaim liberty to the captives. So Jesus is telling you today, you can be free. You can be free of whatever this addiction is. You don't have to live in the shame and disgust that you're having. You can be free. But not only does he proclaim it to you, listen to then what it says. Recovery of sight to the blind and set at liberty those who are oppressed and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So not only does Jesus let you know you can be free, Jesus sets you free. And the Bible promises that when Jesus sets you free, you will be free indeed. You want to be free today, friend? I want to pray for you and pray that God would give you the strength to break every addiction and that those chains would fall away. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I am so grateful that we don't have to be in bondage to sin, but that you set us free. And so, Lord, I pray that you set at liberty every captive that is watching or listening today. Whatever the addiction may be, Lord, every individual listening knows what the addiction is that they are suffering from or struggling with. And so I pray that you would set them free, and not just in a temporary way, but they would be set free permanently. Oh dear God, please, please give freedom from every addiction of every person that is watching or listening here. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey friends, so grateful to have the opportunity to pray for you, and I pray that you would experience freedom in Jesus Christ. God bless you. Back to you guys in the studio.
Thank you so much. It's always so good to pray. Well, we have to take a short break now, but Elizabeth Talbot will be with us when we return to share an inspiring devotional message. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. We are happy you stayed with us this morning.
It is now time for our devotional thought. Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 will be sharing with us this morning. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Hello, everyone. We continue with our series, Fear Not. And today we're talking about Fear Not, God's Calling. Have you ever been called by God to do something that you feel completely inadequate for? I brought you one of my times in which I felt inadequate. This is my PhD dissertation. And when I went to England to start this dissertation, I felt so alone and I felt so inadequate. I spent 2 weeks in a little town called Cheltenham. I was afraid, I was lonely. And then my professor gave me a book to read to start the proposal for the dissertation. And I couldn't understand anything. Half of it was in Greek and the other half of it was in an English I didn't understand. And I said to God, I can't do this. I really can't do this. I don't know what I got myself into. But I feel that you're asking me to do this PhD, but I don't think I can do it. And that's when God revealed that he was going to do this, that it wasn't going to be me, that he was going to do it. He would strengthen me. He would give me, provide for me. He would do this. And here, 8 years later, this is the PhD dissertation. And this is not the only time. I felt like this many times in God's calling, that I didn't have what it takes. And the truth is, God doesn't call us because of our wisdom or knowledge or strength or persistence. He calls us to be His instruments. His instruments. He will be the musician and He will make the music, which is the instrument. So don't fear God's calling, because usually it's way above our heads in purpose, because God says, I'm going to do this, not you. Today we're going to study Gideon's calling. So please go to the book of Judges with me. And we're going to start on chapter 6. Israel is in trouble. They have left the Lord and they're being oppressed by the Midianites. And they are even living in caves and dens in the mountains, because their enemies are coming to take their cattle, their donkeys, their grain. And so they feel really abandoned by God. And one day, the angel of the Lord comes to talk to Gideon. And I'm going to read verse 12. We're in Judges 6, verse 12. And I hope you take the time to read the whole story, Judges 6 and 7, after we're done with this story. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior," or mighty warrior. I imagine Gideon looking around to see who this person was talking to, because he didn't feel like a mighty warrior. And he said, "Lord, if the Lord is with us, if Yahweh is with us, why is this happening to us? Where are the great miracles that our fathers talked to us about? He has abandoned us," says verse 13. And the Lord looked at him, verse 14, and said, "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" And I imagine Gideon saying, "Excuse me, what? You're sending me? No, 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 no. That's not what I meant. I meant, please help us, but not through me. You know who I am? I can't do this." And he says on verse 15, he said to him, "Oh Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I'm the youngest in my father's house." It's like this. He says, okay, this is my tribe, but of my tribe, this is my family. And of my family, that is the least, I'm the youngest. How could you call me? How can you call the youngest? But I don't know if you notice that this is God's pattern. He always calls the least, the youngest, the most unlikely to do the calling, because He shows His strength through it. He shows His spirit through it. And the Lord said to him, verse 16, "Surely I will be with you." I will be with you. It's not you. I will be with you. "And you shall defeat Midian as one man." And then he starts asking for signs. It's interesting, because at one point in verse 23, Yahweh, the Lord, says to him, "Peace to you. Do not fear. Do not fear, because I'm going to do this." And Gideon built an altar there and called it Yahweh Shalom, which is "The Lord is peace." He needed peace because he was so anxious that he couldn't do it. And we are told that he asked for sign after sign after sign, because he was so afraid of his calling. And there's a very special verse in verse 34 that says, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon." That's what was going to do it. See, this was the tribe. The family was the least. He was the youngest. But God was going to give him His Spirit. And His Spirit was the actual power. The beauty, the power, the persistence, the deliverance was going to come through God's Spirit, not through His ability to do this. And this is how it works with our calling. And so he was afraid still. So he kept asking God for signs. And it's interesting, because God kept giving him the signs. And I hope you really read this story, chapter 6 and 7. Well, finally, he gathers a bunch of people to go fight the Midianites. And he has 32,000 people gathered. But the enemy is 135,000 people. He has 32,000 people. And he thinks, okay, well, it's not even a quarter, but, you know, at least we have something. And God says, that's too many, because that's not how I work. And it says on verse 3, "Tell everybody that is afraid and trembling to go back home." And then 22,000 people went home, and he was left with 10,000. But God said, that's too many still. You got to do something else. And you can read it there what he does. And you know how many he has left? 300. 300! Not 300,000, not 30,000, not 3,300. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, those 300. And even though they were the least, they were the called ones. And the Spirit of the Lord did this battle. And it says that instead of swords, they took trumpets. And you can read it in chapter 7, verse 22. When they blew 300 trumpets, the Lord set the sword of one against another and their enemies, and they won the battle. Because the battle is the Lord's. So don't be afraid of your calling, because God will do this. It's not our battle, it's His battle. And it's interesting because this particular battle is used again later on in the prophet Isaiah to teach us how salvation works. It's not something we do, it's something God does. And He uses the battle of Midian as an example. Chapter 9 of Isaiah, verse 4. You shall break the yoke of the burden of the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors, as at the battle of Midian. He uses the battle of Midian as an example of how things work in the kingdom of God. We don't do the battle. That's why He calls the least, the last, the lost, the most unlikely, to show His power, His love, His grace. And then right after He mentions the battle of Midian, then God reveals that a Messiah would come to do all this in our place for us. And it says on verse 6, you know these verses because they're known from Christmas. A child will be born to us. A son will be given to us. And the government will rest on His shoulders, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. He's the one who does these things, not us. We're called as instruments. He's the musician. He does the music. We're the instrument. And the battle is always the Lord's. It's not ours. So when you feel called by God and you know you're inadequate for something like I have felt so many times, remember this. The battle is the Lord's. It's His Spirit that will do it. Fear not your calling, because the battle is the Lord's. And salvation comes from Him. Fear not your calling.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
And friends, thank you for spending this time with us. I know it's valuable time, but it's a blessing. And if you'd like to learn more about our program or share with a friend who's maybe never watched Wake Up with Hope, or even watch some parts of today's program again, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to wake up with us tomorrow morning. We will have a touching musical feature by Lifelong Worship, an encouraging message from John Bradshaw, a recipe from Living in the Kitchen, and much more. And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Don't miss that. It's hope.study for your very own free Bible study guides. And check out the website. We are sure you're going to be blessed.
Amen. Friends, what a privilege it has been to spend this part of the morning with you. We hope that you will take these beautiful reminders of God's care for your body and soul with you throughout your day.
Wow, it's already the end of our program. That was fast. But before we leave, we want to leave you with a promise that you can carry into your day. This one is found in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 15.
It says, I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Even if you don't own cattle, this promise, friends, is for you. God promises to sustain you and to provide for you.
And not just meager portions, but until you are satisfied.
Amen. What a blessing. It's a promise, friends. Let's pray together.
Father in heaven, today, Lord, because we have met with you, because we have heard inspiring music, because we have spent time in your word, because we have prayed, we have learned many things, Lord, our hearts are truly satisfied. And the reason they are, Lord, above all, is because we have seen you, we have heard your voice, and we have welcomed you into our hearts. So, Lord, I pray that as we go throughout this day, that we would keep you in our hearts, and that you would remain with us and satisfy us throughout this entire day until we come to the end of our day and be able to rest with you once again. In Jesus' name, amen.